Well, we're in Des Moines talking with Bill Northey, Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. Bill, first of all, just this morning, understand you spent some time with the presumptive Republican presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, who was here in Iowa. Actually took him to a cornfield. So what did you have to tell Mr. Romney today?
Yeah, we did. It was a good time to be able to talk and share some of the concerns around the drought. He wanted to know what the impact would be. You know, it's a challenge to figure out what the yields are going to be out there and how it impacts economically. But we talked through likely yield losses on the corn and soybean side, what the impact is to livestock producers. He wanted to know what the federal government could do more of to help. Certainly we want a farm bill. That's not going to fix all the ills of the world, but that should happen. And then we talked as well about just what growers face. And now as they go into this next year with uncertainty and the challenges that have happened here, the last thing they need is another round of regulation from federal agencies. And we talked about how that disrupts the life of producers, and that uncertainty causes real challenges. And he certainly understands that in small business and farmers as well.
So you mentioned asking what the government can do more of. In that case, it's what the government can do less of.
It really is. And sometimes great intentions end up creating the kind of regulations that impacts everybody's life. We see some pieces that can help at some of this and allowing more flexibility in CRP rules and other kinds of things. But frankly, a lot of the regulatory things, what Department of Labor and Child and Dust and Water and other kinds of things, cause some real planning problems for a business that's so long-term. Farmers invest in a new livestock building, they don't plan to pay for it next year. It's going to take a decade or longer to do that. And if the rules change between now and then, they end up with having to significantly change how they're going to operate that or extend their loans. And it causes folks in this kind of regulatory environment to back away from investment right out of the box because they're concerned about those rolling regulations.
Let's talk about the drought and its impact here in Iowa. They started out talking about the worst drought since 1988, and they started comparing it to, I think, 1956, and now they're comparing it to the mid-30s out there. I mean, I know there's been some rains here lately in parts of the state, but this was a bad one.
It really was, and every part of the state is impacted, some worse than others. Really all the light ground, wherever we've had any ground that's sandy or clay that doesn't hold water real well or doesn't have a great subsoil to it, that crop is pretty much gone. We're not as bad as some of the states to the east, Illinois and Indiana and even Missouri, western Kentucky, some of those areas. But we have certainly some areas where we have producers that are going to not get much at all. Maybe zeros, certainly some less than 20 bushel fields. Now, sometimes not very far away from that, we have a place that got a rain or two through the season. It's sitting on really heavy soil, and maybe we'll have, less than normal, but not disastrously less than normal yield. So it really varies across the state. Beans are really kind of determining their yields right now. And I talked to a guy yesterday that had my bean plant he pulled that had 75 pods. I also talked to a guy the day before that had a bean plant that didn't have 10 pods on it. So the rain that needs to come to set those pods, to fill the beans in those pods, is going to make all the difference now in the next 2 or 3 weeks in what those beans yield.
And generally, you're thinking what now, about a 30% reduction in corn possibly?
It's hard to, really, really hard to know. But I think as I talk to folks around, we had expected last year our corn yield was 172. We'd hoped for maybe 180 going into this year with the early planting and what great shape we were all in back in April. A lot of folks are thinking maybe 120 bushel corn. Again, we don't know anywhere from 90 to 130 or 40 bushels. We know it's down everywhere, even in our best spots. I talked to some guys that think they'll have 150 bushel corn, and they had 200 plus corn last year. Mm-hmm. So we're down significantly. Beans are still way all over the board. They're just really too hard to guess. But I would say we don't have very many places where we're going to have a really good corn or soybean crop, or certainly not places with outstanding yields.
One thing we've heard a lot, well, we heard last year during that hot spell that we had, and it'd be interesting to see how it turns out this year, is the difference that the improved genetics and technology are making in helping these hybrids and soybean varieties too hang on through really intense heat and drought.
And none of us know. It's hard to separate that out. But, boy, everybody talks about it when I go places. We know that sand just ran out of water and it's gone. But there are places that haven't gotten 5 inches of rain since the end of May that are still green. I had a guy I knew the other day who went out with a backhoe and dug in the soil. He said the first 4 feet of ground was powder dry. Down below that fifth foot, he actually had some moisture. And he washed that off to see how many roots were down there. And these roots were 5 and 6 feet deep under that corn plant. Mm. They were sucking that moisture up. So, again, healthy roots matters a lot. A plant not having to fight corn borers matters a lot. A clean field that's not competing and sharing some of that moisture with weeds matters a lot. I just think it's amazing to think that little corn seed that we planted 3 months ago now has a root that's 6 feet in the ground and has a plant that's 6 or 8 feet tall, not as tall as normal, has an ear at all on it, but not near as big as normal, but it's doing all that on just a handful of inches of rain since we planted that.
As far as the economic financial implications for farmers in the state, sounds like those with crop insurance, and I think that's what, over 90% in Iowa, sounds like they'll probably be okay through this, but it's the livestock guys that are hurting right now.
Yeah, I think that's right, Ken, and that's we have, and I'm sure many of the folks without crop insurance had ways of already planning to be able to handle this kind of risk. Not everybody has as much as they'd like to have once the drought actually comes, and it's different with your guarantees that are different and what people did buy for crop insurances. But generally, they'll be able to plant another year. We do have livestock producers that have been selling cows because they ran out of feed 3 weeks ago. They're now feeding this fall's or this winter's hay. They're running out. Some of them are now chopping silage so that cattle guys can chop some silage. Some of it may not have a lot of corn to it, but it will provide some roughage and then add some grain to it, and they'll be able to carry those cows, probably cheaper than $200 or $300 hay. Hog guys don't have that option. Some of them are buying $8 corn. They thought by this time they might be buying $4.50 corn, and we're seeing some sows go to market as well. Mm-hmm. So certainly there's going to be some big losses in both those industries, as well as we have a lot of chickens, layer chickens in Iowa. We have some dairy producers in Iowa, and there's no way that milk price is covering this increased feed costs either.
One of the unfortunate things about this situation is the division between the corn growers and the livestock folks as far as ethanol is concerned. It's always been kind of a little bit of tension there, but this is kind of unfortunate to see this happening.
Yeah, we certainly see that tension extended, squared, cubed, with all the higher prices and the challenges. Right now we're seeing some reduction in ethanol production because those margins have gone away. There are RINs out there that allow a gasoline retailer to stay legal, not selling ethanol if they don't want to. If they decide that ethanol is too expensive, they want to buy those RINs. So the ethanol side of the market is working right now. If you got rid of the RFS, I think we'd be producing the same amount of ethanol right now. Now, what that means a month or two down the road or 6 months down the road, none of us know. If we end up with a shorter crop than what we thought, we end up not producing near enough ethanol, and we actually get to the place where the RFS is requiring higher prices of ethanol and therefore impacting the decisions at ethanol plants, then there's going to be a lot of folks, including corn growers, that have said, we want to make sure that we feed our livestock. They should compete for corn like everybody else, but we shouldn't force corn prices dramatically higher in a short term against our livestock producers. But we also, as well, could end up this fall finding that we have a little bit more corn than what we thought, that we were watching the worst parts of the field, not the best parts of the field, that these improved genetics allows that corn plant, maybe it's taken everything out of the stalk and it's added a little bit more into that ear, and we could end up with the highest prices of the year right during harvest until we find out we have a little bit more, and we could have a little bit of breathing room on the other side of this. Still going to be higher than what any certainly feeder or other buyers would like to have, but it might get us through to the point where we're not needing to address that RFS. But that will be a tension. It will continue to be a tension. There are people on both sides of that, some that would say never touch the RFS, some that would say the RFS should have gone away back when we had $2 corn. So there are people in the middle that recognize that if this gets into a terribly tough situation, we may have to take another look at things.
So as far as the state of Iowa is concerned, what kind of things are you able to do to help people? What kind of things are you able to do to help people with the drought here?
You know, there's some pieces. The governor has opened up on DOT land, so along our roads, to be able to let people hay that ground. We've opened up state-owned land, some of our conservation, our wildlife land out there, as well as some federally owned but state-managed land. They've changed some weight limits on trucks as well. We are working a lot on making sure the water systems are comfortable, that they have the water that they need and or get permits to dig new wells, and we have some that are digging some new wells. There is a concern on having enough water supply for the livestock industry. We're looking at some of the concerns around what could happen to grain quality this year, and trying to make sure that we're prepared for whatever happens. No reason to believe that it's going to be a terrible situation, but we better be ready in case we have some grain quality issues. So mostly working through those things that help people work with each other. Obviously, we do the hay and straw directory, trying to make sure that people can have access to the hay. There's a limited amount of things that we can do, but doing everything that we can and trying to understand the situation everybody's in.